Well, it used to be that everything was the new black, but now it seems we call everything the new smoking. In recent years, we've heard it applied to sugar, the antisocial way, actually, that people use their phones, prioritising them over the people right in front of them. But it's also been attached to sitting, the sedentary lifestyle we've come to lead. Sitting is the new smoking, and this is the one that's really caught on. But how true is it? According to two Canadian researchers who are visiting Australia, it's for real. Let's meet them. Ross Anderson is a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education at McGill University in Canada. And Susan Bartlett is a clinical psychologist and also an associate professor in the Department of Clinical Epidemiology, Rheumatology and Respiratory Medicine, also at McGill. They're in Darwin to speak at the annual meeting of the Australian Rheumatology Association. And they're also husband and wife. And they're joining us now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Nice to be with you.
Now, what diseases are associated with prolonged sitting?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, it appears that many different diseases are associated with prolonged sitting. For example, heart disease. We also know that there's an increased risk of premature death with people who sit too much. And, you know, just the rheumatic disease, like we're here talking in Darwin at the rheumatology meeting, and we know that individuals who sit more are likely to have more joint pain and joint distress.
Okay, so there's been links to heart disease, possibly diabetes and obesity and arthritis and even some cancers. But tell us about your special area, Ross. What do you see when people stand? Where's the tipping point? How long is enough sitting in a day?
Well, we don't actually have numbers to say how much an individual should actually sit per day. What we do know, though, is that individuals who sit for prolonged periods of time without interruption, are at greater risk. In our society today, we tend to be quite sedentary in the way that we commute to work. It appears that a lot of Australians will commute to work passively, like in a car. Most of us sit behind a desk or a computer for the entire morning, and in many cases we don't get up to take a break. We may walk down to a cafeteria and sit at the cafeteria, in the cafeteria, eating lunch passively, and then go back to work until we resume. We go back to home in our cars. So for most of us, our work does not provide opportunities for physical activity, and we all sit too much.
And you describe it as toxic sitting.
Yeah, I think it's a good word. I think there is a toxic nature to excessive sitting, and we need to look for opportunities in the day to break up these prolonged bouts of sitting. So and it doesn't have to be a long break, just a couple minutes of just getting up. You know, if you've been sitting for several hours, you get up and you just feel kind of stiff. So I think the individuals that sort of get the breaks and sort of a little bit of a lapse from prolonged sitting will tend to do better and be healthier.
Mm. Well, I guess this is where you come in, Susan. You're a psychologist, and your focus is on behaviour change, specifically working with people with arthritis. What behaviours are you seeking to change?
Well, I think, Cassie, it's as much about a change in thinking as it is a change in behaviour. You know, when your joints hurt, when you have arthritis, the natural reaction is to sit down and rest for a minute. And that's good. That's really important, because people with arthritis do need to find opportunities to rest. But as important, they need to find opportunities to move, because as Ross mentioned, the longer you sit, the stiffer you get. And the stiffer you get, the harder it is to get up and move. So it becomes a really self-perpetuating cycle. Now, getting people to think differently about sitting is somewhat of a challenge. Getting us to think differently about any of our lifestyle behaviors, frankly, is challenging, because we're hardwired to do the things we regularly do. But it calls upon us to do things like make sure that we're building in breaks. What I tend to do now at work, for instance, is instead of picking up the phone to speak with a colleague, I get up and I walk over to their office. Or if I'm going to make a photocopy instead of using the photocopy that's closer to my desk, I'll find one in a different department. And that gives me an opportunity to not only get up and move a little bit, but it breaks up that sitting throughout the day.
I guess there's all these kinds of little ways. Ross, I'm curious because there are sort of dangers to being on your feet all day. And I know that teachers have always suffered from sore feet, sore knees, you know, sore hips, etc. What's your thinking on that?
Well, certainly we know that people who work doing manual labor, or as you say, teachers or hairdressers, tend to be at greater risk for joint pain or knee pain. So I think people really need to listen to their bodies and start to think about, the importance of good footwear the types of breaks that we're talking about should not pose excessive stress on the body, really.
What about the idea of standing desks? I mean, they are taking off like crazy. You can walk into offices just about anywhere, it feels, and people, there'll be people standing at their desks.
Yeah,
It's a transition lots of workplaces are making.
Yes, I know. It's interesting, and we also see in California all the rage right now is these treadmill desks as well, where people walk and type at the same time.
So you can really feel like a mouse.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm not that coordinated that I can think and type and walk at the same time. But I think the standing desks are probably good and. And perhaps Susan can talk about this a little bit, but from a behavioral perspective, when we think that when we start making small changes like this, what we tend to see is that people make other changes. So if somebody has been, let's say, standing for an hour in the morning while they're responding to their emails, it's more likely that when they go down to the cafeteria that they may have a salad and a bowl of fruit for lunch instead of a hamburger, because it's one thing, one sort of cog in the wheel to healthier living. So we're not saying that reducing your sitting by an hour a day is going to make all the difference in the world, but it's one step on the pathway to healthier living.
Mm. Susan, I feel like this is more than just behavior change. I mean, this is a lifestyle revolution, because many of the things that we're suggesting here are quite inefficient, really. I mean, it is quicker, unfortunately, for many of us to get to work by car. And we need to get the job done. We may not have the opportunity to go around and talk to someone. Leaving an email for them when they're ready might be faster. I mean, this is really, you're asking people to stop and reassess everything they do.
But you know, Cassie, I'm as guilty as anyone of sitting down at my desk, starting to work, and then getting up several hours later, thinking that I'm actually being more productive by concentrating the work into a specific period of time. But in fact, the studies are really, really clear about this. We don't work well when we work at these intensive, longer durations. And we're actually more creative, and we get more accomplished if we take breaks. So the fact that you should get up and move about every hour actually fits very nicely with cognitive productivity as well, because when you take a break and you come back to what you're doing, you come back with some new energy and some new creative ideas, and things just work better throughout the day if you're moving rather than sitting and concentrating your work time.
And you were talking about sort of coaching people out of, well, inactivity if they feel sore. So that's really the message, is it? That if you are beginning to stiffen up or you're in pain, you've got to push through that.
Well, you always have to listen to your body, as Ross mentioned. That's very, very important. But what people with arthritis will notice is the more that they move, the better they feel. So, for instance, if you're sitting in a car and you're driving all the way to another town that's 2 hours away, you'll do much better if you actually stop halfway through, get out, stretch for a moment, and get back in than if you just sit there and let those joints and muscles sort of solidify. It's a bit of the Tin Man syndrome.
Ross, tell us about, I just want to bring you back to that idea of standing for too long. This, along with these walking, you know, treadmill desks that you've mentioned, there are also these chairs that are standing chairs, because as people have adopted standing desks, they've realised they can't stand all day. But there are these kind of like, they're almost like stools, but really you're just sort of leaning back on them just to take the weight off the feet. Is that the kind of, what do you think about that? Is that a kind of good halfway measure?
I have not seen those, to be honest. It sounds kind of interesting, but I really couldn't comment on it unless I'd seen it. I was at the University of Sydney last week working with some colleagues in the School of Public Health, and they all had these Australian-made, I think they're called Vari desks, and you could actually pop them up. So they were like on a hinge. So if you needed to sit down, you could, and if you wanted to stand for an hour, it just sort of hinged up, and you could get on your feet. So they seem like a nice alternative. Like having a permanently fixed standing desk, I think for most people probably would not be a good solution. But these convertible desks seem quite interesting to me.
Yeah, they look kind of odd, but I can imagine they'd be quite useful. And of course, you're telling people not to wear high heels, I suppose.
That seems to make a lot of sense to me, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what about in your life? I mean, as we've mentioned, that you're a husband and wife team. What do you do in your household that's different?
I can tell you one of the basic things that I've done, and it's directly as a result of the research that we do. And instead of doing the laundry and waiting until all of my laundry is done, folding it all nicely in one basket and taking the one basket upstairs to the top floor, each time I do a load, I take the load up individually. It's a lot lighter, for one thing, but it's also an opportunity to just keep moving more.
I do remember those videos from, I think, the late 90s, which were household exercise videos. You could do the housework and get fit at the same time. Yeah. Ross?
Yeah. We also, our whole family, we have two daughters as well, and we all wear these little devices called Fitbits that measure how many steps per day you take. And it actually, like, we have a little group where we can see how many steps each family member takes, and it becomes rather competitive, but it's kind of a fun little way to track your physical activity. And we all try to get at least like 1,200 steps per day, or 12,000 steps per day, rather. It's sort of a way to track, and we will get on one family member if they're studying for exams, or if one of us is working late on a paper. If their steps are down, we'll prompt them to try to become more active.
Yeah, they're extremely popular here in Australia as well. We're talking with Ross and Susan, who are in Australia for a conference, the Australian Rheumatology Association's conference in Darwin, Ross Anderson and Susan Bartlett from McGill University. Now, tell me, what are we learning about arthritis? Is there new kind of understandings about this disease and preventable ways to prevent it?
Well, you know, we're still struggling with the days when physicians and other health professionals would tell people with arthritis that what they needed to do was rest their joints to protect their joints. And certainly, if joints are sore or if they're inflamed, it is really important not to stress those joints. But even more important is to keep the muscles around the joints strong and healthy so that they keep those joints in nice alignment and they really protect you from further damage. So while the emphasis traditionally has been on encouraging people to be more sedentary, now we're in a different position and we're really trying to encourage people to be more physically active. If you haven't been active for a while and your joints have been hurting, that can be a bit of a challenge because there's some worry, there's some fear about getting moving, and there's some concern that it will make things worse in the long run. But in fact, what we see from the studies over and over is that the more you move, the better you do. And of course, the opportunities to do things that are non-percussive, like swimming. I'm so impressed. In Sydney, we went and we saw all of the outdoor pools right beside the ocean. What a lovely, lovely opportunity to not only get outside and get some physical activity, but to really enjoy what's going on and to do it with your neighbors as well.
Well, it's one of the great kind of legacies, I suppose, of an Australia that was an outdoors nation. But as you know, we also have a problem with obesity here, just as there are in other parts of the world. Is this an exacerbating factor in arthritis, Ross? And, you know, is this leading to more cases?
Well, there's no doubt that heavier people have more problems with arthritis. I mean, we know that there's just greater stresses on the joints. And as Susan mentioned, though, that, you know, when we get people moving a little more, they do tend to feel better over time. So I think one of the key things is that individuals work with their healthcare professionals as well to sort of differentiate between what is pain and what is discomfort. So we can live with a little bit of discomfort and kind of work through discomfort, but we need to be cautious that we're not creating more damage to the joints as well.
I have to say, Cassie, too, being up in Darwin has really made something evident to me, which is when that thermometer goes up, like it is here in Darwin, I think we were at 35 degrees yesterday, there's just this innate tendency to sit down and not move. And yeah. So it's easy to be pretty sedentary the hotter it gets.
Yes, and of course, reaching for a cold beer with all those calories is a bit of a trap for young players as well. Well, thank you very much for talking with us, and good luck with this fascinating conference that you've come to talk at.
It's really nice talking with you.
That's Ross Anderson and Susan Bartlett. They're both at McGill University. Ross is a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education, and Susan is a clinical psychologist and in the Department of Epidemiology, and they're speaking at the Australian Rheumatology Association's conference in Darwin. Coming up, we're going to meet a woman with an extraordinary story and incredible strength too.